Alrighty, Shabbat Shalom. And we are enjoying the rain from heaven coming down on this wonderful Shabbat. I got a message today I want to give called Why Yahweh is Not Real to Most People. And I know as a child growing up, from the time I was at least 7 or 8 or 9 years old, I started thinking about why I was born, you know, always thinking about Elohim in heaven. What is he doing? Why did he put mankind? And as I got older, and particularly coming into the truth, it always amazed me how every human being, life is short, you know. I mean, you could die very young, or even if you're blessed, you live to maybe 60, 70, 80 years old at best. And people really don't think about that. Like, people could live their whole life and never think about why they're created, you know, or the creator there. And yet, you know, we are living in a time where maybe atheists are on the rise, at least in Western society. But most people that ever lived on this planet believe in something. You know, they believe in some kind of religion or some kind of deity. And yet they never think of that question, why they're created, what they're doing there. And if you think about it, most though human beings' concept of Elohim, you know, most of them call him G-O-D or whatever language they're speaking, but we'll use Elohim. When they're thinking of the concept of Elohim, they've never seen him. We've never seen him, physically seen Yahweh, you know. Most people have probably never heard his voice. I know I have audibly heard the voice at times, but What do most people really judge how they look at Elohim from? They're looking at it basically of what they're taught growing up, what their parents would tell them, or their grandparents, or their pastor, or their religion. But you really realize most people, they have no idea who Yahweh really is. You know, and that's why it's not real to most people, because they don't have a concept. Their concept is seeking him through those channels, through what they're told. And particularly, I mean, through my whole life, I've had people say many, many times, you know, they'll say things that they think are in the Bible that are never there. Or when you tell them, like last night, we're going over the Bible study on the state of the dead. And if you tell somebody, no, the Bible nowhere says that the dead are in heaven, the dead are sleeping in the ground. And they'll say, well, that's your interpretation. And I'll say, well, have you ever read the Bible? And they'll say, no. So it's an easy answer to get out of things. But can you imagine that mankind reads millions of books? Even Ecclesiastes says, to the end of books, there's no end to it. And the Creator writes one book, and most human beings have never read it. It's the most sold book in the history of humanity, and the less read. And I mean, direct things here. You know, living here in Israel, like I say, you know, with archaeology, you'll see that something will come up. Like recently, there was something came up they found outside of Jerusalem. They found an inscription that had the name Jerusalem. And everybody goes crazy. It actually mentions the name Jerusalem. Look at this. Wow. Or the Beth David stone, you know, in 1994, they find the stone that talks about the house of David. And some people will say it was the most important find ever in the history of Israel. And yet, in Scripture, we have chapter after chapter after chapter after chapter of actually Psalms that David wrote. King David wrote himself. They're not missing anything. They're all there. And people just don't, they don't realize what we have there. So today I hope to open up your mind to make Yahweh more real to you. Because I think some people think, and we're going to get that into the beginning, some people think Yahweh's real to them, but he's really not. Because Yahweh is not real to religious-minded people. If we look at Christianity, right, and most believers come out of Christianity, there are second generation, even third generation believers out there, but most believers will come out of some form of religion. You know, there could be a Jew, you could be a Muslim. I've been blessed to baptize just about everybody. But most people come out of Christianity, and they are, their concept of Yahweh is marred by that because they have paradigms. And sometimes that'll happen. Like somebody will be living in a sin, and they don't repent. Maybe somebody leaves their spouse and they marry somebody else who's not their spouse, which is considered adultery. And then you'll have to put that person out of the congregation. And people will say, where is the love? Where is the love? And yet it's Yahweh's word who says that. You know? And does Yahweh have love? Do we think he has love? How much of a sin do you think it is if you were coming here today for Sabbath service and you started gathering some sticks to maybe make a barbecue tomorrow? Well, the Bible tells us the man who did that, right? He was gathering sticks on the Sabbath. That doesn't seem like such a big deal. And they came to Moses and said, what do we do with him? And Moses didn't say what to do. Moses said, let's go to Yahweh. And what did Yahweh say? Stone him to death that they may learn to fear me and put the evil away from among you. So in the Christian mindset of just the syrupy, false love of the world, that's not the love of Yahweh. The love of Yahweh is that when we sin and bring capital punishment, right? Because even the thought of adultery, the thought of lust is adultery. The thought of anger toward your brother is murder. These are capital crimes. These are crimes that bring the death penalty. In love, Yahweh doesn't immediately give us death. What he does is, his grace is he's given us time to repent. And yet nowhere in the Bible, Old Testament, New Testament, anywhere you look, will you ever see Yahweh condoning sin. That's not love. Condoning sin is not love. That's not love. And unfortunately, even in the congregation, it'll happen at times. You know, that everything is fine until somebody decides they want to do their own way. They want to go their own way. They want to start their own congregation. They want to do this their own way. And for 100 different reasons, people don't even know. Sometimes people leave the congregation simply because they want to go and divorce their spouse and marry another. And they know that, not that we don't believe in it, Yahweh's word doesn't believe in it. And at the same time, people will say, well, where's the love if you're shunning that person or you're cutting that person off? You're doing it out of love because it's a capital punishment. We're giving them the same grace that Yahweh is. We're trying to give them time to repent to bring them back into the fold. But it is not showing love to that person if you keep relationship with them, because that's what Yahweh's word says. So this is why Yahweh's not real to most people, because in Genesis 1:26, Yahweh says he created mankind in his image and his likeness. And we know we look like Yahweh. Yahweh has eyes, Yahweh has hands. We have free will. We can think, right? Animals don't think to themselves, I want to pick up and move to another place. Animals don't think to themselves, hey, you know what? That grass looks really nice out there. We can think like Yahweh can. We can create it like Yahweh can. So he made us in his image. But since that time, mankind has made gods in their image. And that's the problem. That when we look at our own life and we see our own shortfalls, we want to create. If you're a homosexual, you want to create a god that accepts that. You know? Well, he understands it. He understands it. If you're divorced and you want to remarry, then you're going to create a god that doesn't want you to be alone or to be single. And you know what? Everybody has. I say, when you look at the doctrine's real clear and simple. False tongues. If I can give a message on false tongues, and 100% of the people will see from Scripture what the Pentecostals are doing is not from Yahweh. Well, let's not say 100%. There's one person who won't see it. And you know the person who won't see it? The person who came out of Pentecostalism. He won't see it because they want this. And I've had people actually tell me, even after I proved to them and they admitted, you're right, that's not from the Bible. And I'll say, well, you're going to give it up? And they say, no. Why? If I gave this up, I'd lose my whole identity in Elohim. Wow. If your identity in Elohim is based on falling on the ground and barking like a dog, that's not much identity. It really isn't. So this is something I really want to challenge everybody, particularly the ones who will be watching this, to think to yourself, because the Laodicean thinks he's rich and increased with goods and need of nothing, and he's poor, he's blind, and he's miserable and naked. So many Laodiceans will think, oh, no. You know, I know that's to this person. I know it's to the Pentecostal, but it's not to me. But if Yahweh is real to you, we're going to see certain things here, and then there's certain things that will not change in your life. And if Yahweh is real to you, then the fruits of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, all these things are going to be evident in your life. And what happens so many times, and I see it many times in Catholicism and many times in Christianity, that people are unfulfilled in their life and they feel so much guilt because they know they should be fulfilled if Yahweh's their Elohim, and yet they're not fulfilled and they try to cover it up. And that doesn't work. That doesn't work. You know? It's like we say, the whole point of positive thinking, why doesn't it work? Because you have to think about it. It's not about thinking positive, it's about being positive. It's about changing the neural associations in your life so that you're positive. It's not just thinking about it. So it's the same thing here. I want to share today why Yahweh is not real. And we could start out with Judaism, right? You look at Judaism, and many, many people that come out of Christianity, they come from the pot into the frying pan. Because they see Christianity as a pagan religion. You're not going to build any kind of meaningful relationship with Yahweh through Christianity. You'll build some, because Yahweh is merciful, and He will work with you, but it will be limited. Your relationship with Yahweh is going to be limited if you're celebrating Christmas and Easter and Sunday and all these other pagan things, because they're 100% contrary to His word. So you can only have a limited relationship with Yahweh if you're not ready to surrender to His will and His way, as we'll see here with the greatest men of Yahweh. But so people look at Judaism and they think, wow, that's what I have to do, not realizing Judaism is just as pagan as Christianity, right? The lighting of the candles on Friday night, the wavings of the hands, you know, all what they call the Kabbalah Shabbat, all of that welcoming in the Sabbath. Go online, read about it. You know what they're doing? They're welcoming in the Sabbath Queen. The Sabbath Queen, that they actually have a name for. And you know what they believe? They believe Yahweh has sexual relations with that Sabbath Queen on the Sabbath. You want to do that? You want to follow that? Be my guest. But you know what? Yahweh will never be real to you. He'll never be real. And I realize it. Lived here in Israel for the last 20 years, and Yahweh's not real to these people. If He was real to these people, they wouldn't be living the way they are. They wouldn't have the highest abortion rate in the world. They wouldn't be doing all the miserable things they're doing here in this land that they're going to be judged for. But Yahweh's not real to these people. Even on the Shemitah. Go to the ultra-Orthodox and ask them about the Shemitah. You know what they'll tell you? Oh yeah, we keep it. Well, how do you keep it? We sell our land to an Arab for a dollar. We still eat all the food, and then we buy it back at the end of the year. We got Yahweh. No, you know what? You don't know Yahweh. You don't know Yahweh. Because Yahweh's not to be tricked, you know. And they have laws that they have with the Talmud that talk about that. You know, where Yahweh sits there and they're tricking Yahweh in their dialogue. And then they say, Yahweh in the heaven laughs and says, my children have defeated me. That is not Yahweh. That's not Yahweh. And unfortunately, it's a judgment that's coming. Titus 1:14 says, not listening to Jewish fables and commandments of men, having turned away from the truth. Not listening to Jewish fables and commandments of men, having turned away from the truth. So all the Jewish fables, all of these books, and I have it all the time, I must get it at least once a week or once every 2 weeks. Why don't we have the book of Enoch in our Bible and all these other false apocryphal books? Because they're not books of Yahweh. There was no alphabet in the days of Enoch. Enoch did not write any book. And the book of Enoch is a false book that we don't even know wrote it. You know what even makes it worse? Somebody who wrote that is trying to make us think it's a Bible book when it's not. If Yahweh wanted the book of Enoch in the Bible, it would be in the Bible. It's not a Bible book that's inspired by Yahweh. It's that simple. So today, I'm looking to touch the hearts of the people who really want a relationship with Yahweh. The ones who are seeking and don't know why they don't, because I'm going to give you all the answers today that are very, very clear here. But if you're not willing to change and come out of that religious spirit and come out of your own pride too, you'll never have a relationship with Yahweh. And that's why Yahweh's not real to most people, because they're not willing to sacrifice the things of this world that it takes to have a relationship with Him. It's not that Yahweh doesn't want it. Like the old expression, you know, when someone comes up and says, oh, I don't feel close to Elohim right now. And the question is, who moved? Right? Yahweh wants to be close to us all the time. So if you're not feeling close to Yahweh, who moved? So Yahweh makes man in His image, and mankind has made all their gods in their image. And that's why you have thousands of religions today. You know, the Muslims, they have an Elohim in their image that runs around with a sword. He wants to cut people's heads off. You know, that's pleasing to him. If you can go to a school and you can kill children, that's pleasing to their Elohim. That's not the Elohim I serve. You know, and it's sad because it's a demonic spirit that they're serving and they don't even realize it. So most people seek Yahweh through religion that's man-made. You know, the three major religions of Christianity, Judaism, and Islam, all at least from 2nd century BC when Judaism started, to Christianity, 4th century BC, to Islam, 7th century BC. All new religions. And like I said, Judaism is probably the worst because who started modern Judaism? The leftovers who rejected the Messiah. So that's not a religion I want to be part of. And it might not have been even as bad in the 1st and 2nd century. By the 4th, 5th century, it's filled with paganism. You know, come here to Israel. I'll take you to synagogues from the 4th and 5th century that have Helios, the sun god, in the middle of the synagogue. You know, and they'll try to tell you it's decorative. Give me a break. You have Helios in the middle of your synagogue, you're certainly not going to have a relationship with Yahweh. John 5 and verse 40. John 5 and verse 40 says, "And you are not willing to come to me that you may have life. I do not receive glory from men, but I have known you that you do not have the love of Yahweh in yourself. I have come in the name of my Father, and you do not receive me. If another comes in his own name, you will receive that one. How are you able to believe? You who receive glory from one another, and the glory which is from the only Elohim, you do not seek." Right? So what's the reason? And it's amazing, you know. I mean, if you're a truly begotten covenant person of Yahweh, the only reason you came into his congregation is because it's the truth. I know that was the reason I came in 35 years ago. I wasn't looking for religion. I wasn't looking for friendship. I was looking for nothing but the truth. I investigated it for 6 months to a year, and then when I found out that was the truth, I wanted to embrace it the rest of my life, and I never looked back. But not everybody's like that. There's people that come in looking for friendship. They're lonely. There's people coming in looking for, you know, maybe they're widows, and they don't have money, and they're looking for being cared for. You know, not to say any of these things are wrong of themselves, but if the only reason you're coming in to the congregation is for the truth, then you'll never leave for any other reason. What would be the reason you would leave for? Because the truth is the truth is the truth, and it never changes. How are you able to believe? You will receive glory from one another, and the glory which is from the only Elohim you do not seek. And that's the problem. Mankind is looking for acceptance from other human beings. And I can't tell you in all my years how many times that people were right on the top of the fence coming to the truth, and the whole reason they turned back was over family members giving them a hard time over things like Christmas and Easter and these other things, birthdays. Totally turned back. And I know they're hard decisions. Sometimes it's a job. I've dealt with people making $100,000 a year or more, and they just couldn't give that job up over working on the Sabbath. So I'm not saying these aren't hard decisions, but this is why Yahweh's not real to most people, because that job is real. That rent at the end of the month is real. That electric bill is real. Those are real things. And if I don't pay that bill, this light's going out. But like I said, you don't see Yahweh. Nobody has ever seen him. So how do you know about him? You know about him what other people have told you, what you might have read, but that's not knowing Yahweh. You know, like we were in the class the other night. You know, a sermon is not the word of Yahweh, right? You know, even the Bible, to a degree, you know, it's the word of Yahweh secondhand, but it's not knowing Yahweh. We know him through his word, but that's not the main way you get to know him. You know him through a personal relationship. And his spirit is living in you, and it's got to open up your mind. But you got to yield to it. You got to yield to it, or you're just, like they say, playing church. Jeremiah 4, in verse 22. He says, "For my people are foolish, they do not know me. They are stupid children, and they have no understanding. They are wise to do evil, but they do not know to do good." Wow. Can you imagine? He's writing this at the time when the temple still stood. When his presence is still over the Ark of the Covenant. And he's saying, my people are foolish, they do not know me, they are stupid children, they have no understanding. They are wise to do evil, but they do not know to do good. And that's human nature. You know, it starts with Adam and it goes on, but people don't want to give up that human nature. Job 42 and verse 5. Job 42 and verse 5. You remember the book of Job, right? He goes through all these things, and most of the chapters of Job are going back and forth where he's justifying himself, you know, playing the pity party, justifying himself, doing all these things. And then finally it clicks at the end of the book when Yahweh really, really shares with him who he is. And look what he says in Job 42 and verse 5. I have heard of you by hearing of the ear, but now my eye has seen you. Therefore I despise myself and I repent on dust and ashes. I have heard of you by the hearing of the ear, but now my eye has seen you. And that's the problem. People have heard of Yahweh. They've read what Yahweh says. But when Yahweh convicts your life, when he speaks to you, when he knocks you to your knees, this is where you're going to be. You're going to despise yourself and repent with dust and ashes. Because when Yahweh reveals himself, you see where he is and you see where you are. And it's got to come. So, who are the people in the Bible who had the greatest relationship with Yahweh? Who Yahweh really was real to? Let's just look at a couple of scriptures. First, Jacob 2 and verse 23. And the scripture was fulfilled saying, and Abraham believed Yahweh, and it was counted for righteousness to him, and he was called the friend of Yahweh. Wow, that sounds like a pretty good relationship. Somebody who knows him. 1 Samuel 13, 14. But now your kingdom shall not stand. Yahweh has sought out for himself a man according to his own heart, and Yahweh has appointed him as leader over his people. For you have not kept that which Yahweh commanded you. Wow. Calls David a man after his own heart. Right? The heart of Yahweh. Had a very good relationship with Yahweh. Maybe better than anybody in the Bible. Numbers 12 and verse 7. It is not so with my servant Moses. He is faithful in all my house. Moses was faithful in all his house. So these are the men that we want to look at. These are the men we want to emulate. These are the men that we want to look and say, what were they doing? What were they doing? Because I want Yahweh to be real to me. I want to have that kind of relationship. I don't want to have it through religion. I don't want to have it through tradition. I don't want to hear what other people are saying. Because as we see in the Bible, almost all the time, the masses of the people were wrong. Psalm 50 and verse 16. Because like I said, in the Laodicean era, it's not very easy. Because people are thinking, the whole Messianic movement, they're thinking that they have a relationship with Yahweh and they know him through all of these, you know, intricate things they're doing. They want to wear kippahs. And I'm not talking about Jewish people. I'm talking about Messianic people. They want to look Jewish. They want to put a talit on. Do all these things thinking. And what does Yahweh say? Because they're not keeping his word. These same people will work on Shabbat when it's not convenient to take the time off. They don't keep the Hagim, the holy days. And they're not keeping the Torah, the word. They're just doing it in fluff. Psalm 50 and verse 16 says, but to the wicked, Elohim says, what is it to you to proclaim my statutes and to take up my covenant on your mouth? What is it to you to proclaim my statutes and take up my covenant on your mouth? And you hate discipline and toss my words behind you. When you saw a thief, you were pleased with him. And with adulterers is your part. You give your mouth to evil and your tongue frames deceit. You speak against your brother. You give fault to the son of your mother. You have done these things and I have kept silent. You thought, surely I would be like you. But I will rebuke you and set in order before your eyes. Now think of this, you who forget Eloah, lest I tear and there not be any to deliver. Whoever sacrifices thanks glorifies me, and he who determines his course in life, I will show him Yeshua Elohim. Wow. So this is what I'm saying. Not like the false Christianity. Yahweh's grace is not allowing sin to continue. And that's what people think. They continue in their sins over and over and over. And they cry and they say, how much love Elohim has for me. That's not love. It's his grace that he hasn't given you judgment yet. But the unrepentant sin will bring you to the lake of fire. It's that clear. So let's not take his mercy, the fact that he hasn't judged us yet, to think that he's okay with this. And he's saying it right here. You know, he's saying it right here to every religious spirit that's walking around with a pompous attitude, thinking because they're religious that they know Elohim, or because they're messianic, or because they keep the Shabbat, or because they do any of these other things. And he's saying, you know what? You sicken me. You think I'm like you? Think again. You sicken me. You absolutely sicken me with your hypocrisy, your double-mindedness. You know, Jacob 1:8, the double-minded person is unstable in all their ways. And Yahweh's saying, you sicken me. And the fact that he's not immediately judging us, that someone doesn't do this, a lightning bolt doesn't come out of heaven, people are thinking it's okay. And like I said, the whole religion of Christianity, I say many times, and I say it in all honesty, I don't like that to say this, but I say it in honesty, in many ways, Christianity is more dangerous than Islam. At least with Islam, we know who the enemy is. You know, we know what they're doing. We know what they're going to go out there and blow people up and think that that's a blessing to their Elohim. With Christianity, they are bringing masses and masses and masses of people to eternal death by telling them, Jesus loves you, continue in your sinful life. And when people judge us and say, well, we're too judgmental, no, not at all. But you know what? I will stick by this word every day of my life, till my last breath. And if you think that's judgmental, so be it, because I didn't write the book. I know Yahweh. I've heard his voice. I've seen his cherub. And there's no doubt in my life how he's working. No doubt in my life. I've been here 20 years. I didn't choose to be here. Yahweh put me here. I didn't choose to look for the tabernacle of David. He brought it here. And this is things that he's blessing our congregation with. And he's blessing us with it to be more responsible, to be more obedient, to have a better relationship with him. But I wouldn't be loving you if I told you you can do that and continue to sin. I wouldn't be showing love to you. Iron sharpens iron. We have to stick together as a people. And as the world is getting more and more worldly, we have to get more and more sanctified. And the fact that the world out there, yes, they are our ministry, it doesn't mean that we have to be like them. You know? And that's the point. Are you affecting them or are they affecting you? Because if you're like the world out there, then you're never going to know who Yahweh is. He's never going to be real to you because he's not real to them. Yahweh is not real to the people out there. Most people out there don't know Yahweh whatsoever. Jeremiah 35. Jeremiah 35. In verse 12, we see the Rechabites. And what a great example these people are. Because you know what? These people really didn't know Yahweh. But yet they knew their forefathers. They remind me of the Amish, you know? The Rechabites. The Amish to me are like the modern day Rechabites. They follow their forefathers. They were told something that's good and they never look right or left to it. And Yahweh honors that. Look what he says here. Chapter 35. In verse 12, then the word of Yahweh was Jeremiah saying, so says Yahweh of hosts, the Elohim of Israel, go and tell the men of Judah and the people of Jerusalem, will you not receive instruction to listen to my word, says Yahweh? The words of Jonadab, the son of Rechab, are done, in which he commanded his sons not to drink wine, and to this day they do not drink, but obey their father's command. But I have spoken to you rising early and speaking, and you do not listen to me. I have also sent you all my servants, the prophets, rising up early and sending, saying, each man now turn back to his evil way, and amend your doings, and do not go after other gods to serve them, and you shall live in the land which I have given to you and your fathers. But you have not bowed your ear nor listened to me. Because the sons of Jonadab, the son of Rechab, have stood on the command of their fathers, which he gave them. But this people has not listened to me. So Yahweh Elohim of hosts, the Elohim of Israel, says this, behold, I will bring on Judah and on all the people of Jerusalem all the evil I have spoken against them, because I have spoken to them, but they did not listen. Yea, I have called to them, but they did not answer. And there's a great accountability coming on this land soon. I mean, 2,520 years, Judah was in captivity, and Yahweh brings them back and look at this land in 70 years. Now, in one way, they'll say, wow, look at us. You know, we're making a lot of money. We got a good economy. We're doing organic growing. But another way, it's turned into the most vile, immoral, you know, worldly place. A small country like this, they have New Age meetings they have. They'll get 50,000 people coming to these things. And this is what Yahweh is saying. He's saying that these people don't know him. Isaiah 8 and verse 20. Isaiah 8 and verse 20. To the Torah and to the testimony, if they do not speak according to this word, it is because there is no light in them. To the Torah and to the testimony, if they do not speak according to this word, it is because there is no light in them. Very, very simple. Like I said, it doesn't mean that Yahweh doesn't love the Christians. He does, you know, and he has mercy on them, and maybe even sometimes will answer their prayers because, you know, they maybe they're praying with earnestness in their heart. But the bottom line is, if you are worshiping through paganism or false ways, you're limited in your relationship. There's no other way around it. You limit your relationship when you compromise. You limit your relationship when you worship out of something that's not true. Jeremiah 23 and verse 14. Jeremiah 23 and verse 14. And for most people, especially in the internet age, you know, I know myself, when I learned about Christmas, say, you know, we just pass, praise Yahweh, over here in Israel, it kind of comes and goes. You don't even know about it, which is awesome. But I know when I learned about Christmas, it hit me like, wow. Because I loved Christmas as a Christian. Why not? You know, it was a great time of year. You're with family. You give them presents. You always try to help people. You know, all the Christmas specials that are on. But man, when I found out that it is filled with paganism and evilness and debauchery and where it came from, I wanted nothing to do with that. Never did. Never looked back. But actually, Christians will say, well, no. But we've changed it. We've put, you know, like they say, they put Christ back in Christmas, right? He was never in Christmas. He was never in Christmas because Christmas has nothing to do with him. He wasn't born on that day. It's a lie. It's based on a lie. It's based on untruths. And it's built on every type of evilness, debauchery, and all kinds of bad things. So why would a believer want anything to do with that, you know? If we're going to try to, you know, just put a day aside to, you know, say we're going to honor Yeshua, you know, for being born, it certainly wouldn't be that day. Because that's a day that's an evil day. That's a day that's a satanic day. But that's why people don't know Yahweh. Because they'll take the things of the world and they think that they can change them and that Yahweh is acceptable to this. And Deuteronomy 12, I'm not going to go there, but it's very clear. He says, that's not acceptable to me. My ways are higher than your ways. My thoughts are higher than you. You cannot take this despicable, abominable things of the world and put a twist to it and think you're going to worship me that way. He tells us exactly how to worship him. And he gives us free will and it's our choice. And if you want a relationship, if you want it to be real, you have to follow. You don't ask questions. You don't compromise. You know, it's not a negotiation. You get on your hands and knees and you follow him. And surrender, you know, surrender yourself to him. Jeremiah 23, in verse 14, he says, I have also seen a horrible thing among the prophets of Jerusalem. They commit adultery and walk in falsehood. They make the hands of the evildoers strong so that not a man returns from his evil. They are all of them like Sodom to me and those living like Amor. So Yahweh Post says this concerning the prophets, behold, I will feed them wormwood and make them drink poisonous water, for wickedness has gone forth from the prophets of Jerusalem into all the land. It's really, really interesting that, you know, the religious parties, they have political parties, religious parties, there's several of them. And there was a man who's the head of one of the religious parties that several years ago, he actually got put in prison for lying and graft and stealing. So what happens in the land of Israel? He comes out of prison, they give him the exact job he had before. And you know what's happening now? He's getting arrested again for doing the same thing again. And these are people that are ultra-Orthodox, you know? So don't think they're any more religious-minded. And the people of Israel, the average person out here, let me say for people out here that don't know it, the average Israeli are fine, good people who love us. They love what we're doing. They honor what we're doing. They're thankful that we come here and support the nation. And they're against the ultra-Orthodox. Because the ultra-Orthodox looks at the average secular Jew out here and they don't even look at them as Jewish. Because they're not doing all of these commandments and rituals that the rabbis brought up. So it's like in 2,000 years, we've come full circle. The same as Yeshua was rebuking these rabbis 2,000 years ago for their hypocrisy, the same exact thing is going on in the land today. And Yahweh, so says Yahweh of hosts, do not listen to the words of the prophets who prophesy to you. They make you vain. They speak a vision of their own heart, not out of the mouth of Yahweh. And I say, if you really think about it, read your New Testament and read where Yeshua is doing miracles and they want to kill him because he's doing miracles. And then he actually raises the dead after he raises Lazarus. Can you imagine if you were here then? And you see this person's the Messiah, maybe on the wall, maybe I'm not sure, maybe he is, maybe he isn't. And now he tells Lazarus, Lazarus, come forth. And this man comes out of his grave after 4 days. What doubt would anybody have? And what do the religious people of that day say? Do they repent? Do they cry? Do they say, Yahweh, we're sorry for rejecting your Messiah? No, they say, we need to kill him. We need to kill him. Because if this continues, we're going to lose everything. That's how warped and how sick and how perverted the religious minds are. Then and now. Because it's the same thing. Go across the board. Everything with religion is about money and selling and books. It's become a sick thing and it's religious Babylon. And not only in Babylon, it's all over the world. But the heads of most religious organizations are about the furthest thing from Yahweh you can get. And now all these poor sheep that are in all these organizations, how are they going to know Yahweh? Because they're learning it from all these corrupt people, like the Catholic Church, that for years, and now it's just coming out, they're all pedophiles. They have been abusing children for years and years and years, and the leaders knew about it. And what they do when they found out, they put them in another place. They tried to hide it. And now you have all these thousands and thousands and thousands of people coming out 30 years later, saying about all these abuses. And you're going to learn who Yahweh is through them? Through a Catholic priest? Through an Orthodox priest? Through a Jewish rabbi? I don't think so. I don't think so. You're not going to learn Yahweh through these people. You've got to seek Yahweh with all your heart, your mind, your soul, and the strength. And that's the only way. Right? And then look what he says. They say to those who despise me, Yahweh has said, you will have peace. And they say to everyone who walks in the stubbornness of his own heart, evil shall not come on you, right? The whole false grace. No, you can go out and sin. Jesus loves you. Nothing's going to happen. He comes to you as you are. Isn't it so great if you're a homosexual, you're an adulterer, whatever you are, you're a liar, you're a thief. He loves you just as you are. He did everything. I have to do nothing. Hey, man, where's the love? Come on. That's evil. That's satanic. And that's the whole false grace message in the world today. For who has stood in the counsel of Yahweh and has seen and heard his word? Who has listened to his word and heard? Behold, the whirlwind of Yahweh has gone forth in fury. Even a whirling storm, it will whirl on the head of the wicked. There's a whirlwind coming, you know. We're seeing hurricanes, right? And all these tornadoes and things that are worse. And we ain't seen nothing yet. The anger of Yahweh shall not turn back until he has executed, until he has set up the purpose of his heart. In the latter days, you will understand it perfectly. We start to understand it, right? Obedience is what Yahweh's looking for. He's looking for surrender and obedience, right? What did he say to King Saul? That rebellion is the sin of witchcraft, right? Is it the killing of animals or is it an obedient spirit? And never let anybody tell you that by being obedient, you know, that you're one of them, you know, law people or this and that. It's like, sure am. You know, if I'm not, what am I? If I'm not lawful, I'm lawless. You're one or the other. So we got to wear those badges proud when people try to turn it around. He sets up the purpose in his heart. In the latter days, you will understand it perfectly. I have not sent the prophets, yet they ran. I have not spoken to them, yet they prophesied. So this is where people are running around, right? Verse 25. I have heard what the prophet said. Those who prophesied lies in my name, saying, I've dreamed. You see it all the times in all these messianic and Christian circles. They're going to tell you this dream that happened. They had a dream of this. They had a dream of that. How long is there in the heart of the prophets of lies, that the prophets of the deceit of their own heart? They plot to cause my people to forget my name by their dreams, which they tell each to his neighbor, even if their fathers have forgotten my name for Baal. What is the English for Baal? Lord. So people will say, well, if the name Yeshua is important, I prayed to Jesus and I had my prayer answered. Why was that? I don't know. Maybe it was an accident. Maybe Satan bound you and Satan released you. Or maybe Yahweh had mercy on you. But no matter what the reason was, it doesn't change that his name is in Jesus. There's no letter J in Hebrew or Aramaic. His name is Yeshua. So how many people do you know? How many people are real to you if you don't even know their name? How many people can you have a heartfelt relationship with if you don't even know their name? So it's important. That name is part of the restoration ministry. And it's extremely important because Yahweh is saying, in the end time, I'm going to do all these miracles and everyone will know my name is Yahweh. And for the people saying it's not important, wow, all it's showing is they don't know him. They don't know him. And what does Yeshua say? Many will say in that day, Master, Master, and what is he going to say? I don't know you. I don't know you. So we want to think about that when we're thinking about Yahweh and Yeshua being real to us. How many people do you know intimately that you don't know their name? And then look at the next verse, verse 28. I love this verse. It's one of my empowering verses. The prophet who has a dream, let him tell his dream. And he who has my word, let him speak my word faithfully. What has the chaff to do with the wheat, says Yahweh. So I have many, many times people come up to me with dreams. And most of the time, I don't know. There are certain times Yahweh has given me an interpretation to a dream for somebody. But most of the times, no. And if they say it, I say, that's interesting. I don't know. Pray about it. Maybe Yahweh will tell you. But I love this because he who has a dream, let him tell his dream. But he who has my word, let him speak it faithfully. What is the wheat to the chaff? Because I can't give you a dream every week because I don't have one. But I can give you his word every week. Every week I can come here and give you his word. Because it rolls out of my mouth, because it's his spirit that's coming. And like I said, when I study the Bible, I'm not surfing the internet, trying to look for this and that. I open my Bible, I read, and it's like the Uman and the Thuman. Lights come on these words, and lights come on these scriptures, and Yahweh puts all this together. And he does it. It's his spirit that's doing it. So he who has a dream, let him tell the dream. He who has my word, let him speak it faithfully. And that's what we want. This is the way you'll have a relationship with Yahweh. Because these are all his words. You know? These are his words. This is the way you're going to understand it. This is the way he speaks to you. And like I said, at times in my life, I've heard an audible voice of Yahweh tell me something. But it's very rare. But every day of my life, I hear him speaking through his word. And that's why the first thing I want to do when I get up, first thing is get up, pinch myself that I'm alive, and then get into the Word. Because I want to hear what he has to say to me that day. And that's the way it's going to be. Not through all these false dreams and visions and all of this, you know, pomp and circumstance of people trying to sell videos and sell tapes and all this other stuff, claiming it's the Word of Yahweh, when Yeshua says, I never knew you. So now, let me go over 4 points on how to seek Yahweh. How to make Yahweh real to you. How to make it so real in your life that it will literally change your life. Because that's the thing that changes your life. Not a doctrine. A relationship. And that relationship can't come unless there's a commitment. And how can the commitment come unless you believe? Right? If you don't believe with all your heart, you're never going to make that commitment. Like I said, you're not going to die for a doubt. If you have any doubts, you've got to get rid of them. Because the word doubt does not exist in the Hebrew, right? Like we know. Isaiah 1 and verse 2. Isaiah 1 and verse 2. Because you know what's really scary? It's scary that you look through the Bible and almost all the people in the Old Testament were not, Yahweh wasn't real to them. They had no relationship with him. Almost all of them. There's a handful that it was, as we went into some. And this is when Yahweh's presence was literally there. This is when the priests were sharing the Torah to them and he wasn't real. And then, like I said, wow, if there was ever a time I can go into just to be a fly on the wall for one day, it would be when Yeshua was alive. You know, the Sermon on the Mount, I'd be a fly on a donkey in that day. Just listening, just hearing his words, you know, come out and the authority that he had and how he shared with people. I would love to hear it. And yet at that time, right? For more than 2 years, 2.5 years, he preached a public ministry to thousands and thousands of people. And how many people were believers when he died? 120. The Bible tells us 120. Because the ways of the world were more of a pull than the ways of Yahweh. People were afraid of being kicked out of their synagogues. They were afraid of what people would think. And that happens a lot. Many people, they don't come to faith. They believe they're right at that end. And they turn back because they're afraid what people are going to think. They're afraid with their friends, their relatives, the people they work with. And if we're really going to seek Yahweh, you've got to seek Him with all your heart, your mind, your soul, and your strength. So the first thing we have to do is, if you're going to have a right relationship, is you have to repent. You have to really repent. I'm not talking about feeling sorry. I'm not talking about saying I'm sorry. You have to repent. You have to repent like Job did. Read the book of Job and look what he did. Look at what Job said, what we just said over there. Therefore, I despise myself and I repent on dust and ashes. Because when we see Yahweh for who He is, man, we should despise ourselves for who we are. And look what he says in Isaiah 2, chapter 1, in verse 2. Hear, O heavens, and listen, O earth, for Yahweh has spoken. I have enlarged and brought up sons, but they have rebelled against me. The ox knows his owner, the donkey his master's manger. But Israel does not know. My people have not understood. Woe, sinful nation, a people heavy with iniquity, a seed of evildoers, sons who corrupt. They have forsaken Yahweh. They have scorned the Holy One of Israel. They have estranged backward. Wow. So it's really interesting, the scripture, because the ox knows his owner and the donkey his master's manger, right? This is naturally, right? This is a natural thing that happens, and yet Yahweh's saying, my people who I came to, who I was there on Mount Sinai, they don't know me. They don't know me. So even though naturally it should be instinctive for us as the people of Yahweh to know Him and have a relationship, it's not. It's something you have to seek. And what's stopping it here? Sin. Sin is stopping it. The ways of the world and the ways of sin is stopping the people's relationship. 2 Corinthians 7 and verse 8. 2 Corinthians 7 and verse 8. For even if I made you feel sorry in the epistle, I do not regret, even though it caused sorrow. For I see that although the letter grieved you, it was only for an hour. Now I rejoice that you were grieved, but that your sorrow led to repentance. For you were grieved over the things of Yahweh, so that you lacked nothing from us. For sorrow over the things of Yahweh works enduring repentance of the soul that brings one to life, but the sorrow over the things of the world causes death. And that's the key. So many times, people are not repentant with Elohim repentance. They're sorrowful for what they lost. They're sorrowful for what they lost. And you want to know something? If you're really going to repent, you better be ready to lose something. Because when you repent, you have to make restitution. And whether that means you have to pay money back for something, of something that you stole, whether it means you have to lose friends or family members and bad relationships, or whether it means you have to lose your pride. You have to lose your pride. But when you repent, be ready to lose something. Be ready to lose something. And that's the problem. Sorrow of the world leads to death, but the sorrow of Yahweh leads to everlasting life. And that's the sorrow where we realize we're not just sorry for what we said or what we did. We're sorrow for who we are. We see ourselves for what we are. We see ourselves laid bare before Him. And that's when Yahweh can pick us up. And that's when you can start to build a relationship with Him. As long as pride is there as a wall in between, you're never going to build a relationship with Yahweh. You're going to kid yourself. You know, like Jeremiah 23. You're going to think that Yahweh's talking to you. You're going to think that He said this. But He's not. He's not. There has to be repentance in your life if you want to see Yahweh work, if he wants to be real to you. John 8 and verse 34. John 8 verse 34 says, Yeshua answered him, truly, truly, I say to you, everyone practicing sin is a servant of sin. You know, and you are the servant of what you obey, either sin to death or everlasting life to Yahweh. Righteousness to everlasting life or sin to death. So you are the servant of what you obey. And many times, like I said, it's easy to see sin sometimes, sins of addiction. Sins if you're doing something, maybe you're stealing at work or you're doing something else, you know. You're putting hours on your paycheck that really aren't there. Those are sins that are easy to say because they're right in front. But the sins of pride, the sins of self-righteousness, they're the ones you really got to look in your heart. And you have to see, am I really surrendering to Yahweh? Or am I holding back for my own ways? And one way you know is if you're under his judicial order. Because Yahweh's always had a judicial order. He had it from the Garden of Eden. He had it through Abraham and through the lineage. He had it with Israel through the kings and the prophets and the priests. And in the congregation, he's always had it through his ministry. So there's a judicial order there, and it's a way that we can check ourselves. Point number two, Matthew 26:39. And going a little forward, he fell on his face, praying and saying, My Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me. Yet not as I will, but as you will. Point number two, to have a right relationship and know Yahweh, we have to surrender our will to the will of Yahweh in everything. In everything. We have to humble ourselves. And it's not always easy. But, you know, I say to people when they're brand new, because I know when you're brand new, wow, this can really be overwhelming. Because not only are you have to worry about stop eating pork and shrimp and all these little things that you have to do, but now, like I said, you could lose a job, there could be relationships, there's things in your life you have to change. And it can really, really be overwhelming, but we have to humble ourselves. The only way to have a real relationship with Yahweh is surrender and everything. And what I tell people is, it might be hard in the beginning because you're going all these years on your own, but it does get easier day by day, month by month, year by year. It gets much easier because the more you're surrendering to Yahweh, the easier your life is going to be. And we reap what we sow. Not that Yahweh's up there ready to pounce on us when we do something wrong. No, he's merciful. Like we said, his grace is giving us time to change. But at the same rate, the more we're following him, the less you're going to sow bad things. So as time goes on, these changes you make in your life, this is where you build the relationship with Yahweh. Galatians 5 and verse 25 says, Let us therefore live by the Spirit and surrender to the Spirit. And what does he mean by this? What does he mean, surrender to the Spirit? We have free will. Every human being, like we said, because Yahweh has free will. But we have to take that free will that he's given to us and surrender it back to him. You know, like he said in Genesis, after Adam and Eve took up the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, he said, The man has become as one of us to know good and evil. But we have to say, you know what, Yahweh? I don't want to know good from evil anymore. My free will is up to you. All I want to do is follow your word 100% because that's the tree of life. I only want to know good. I don't want to know good and evil. So this way, we don't have to always make these decisions for ourselves, what we think is wrong and what we think is right, because it becomes self-righteousness when we do that. You know, we want to serve Yahweh 100%, follow his word with no compromise, and surrender our will to him. And the only way to do that, Hebrews 11:6. But without faith, it is impossible to please Yahweh. For it is right that the one drawing near to Yahweh should believe that he is, and he's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. And we say, well, of course we got to believe Yahweh is. But one of the reasons Yahweh is not real to most people is people don't really believe. People hope that Yahweh is there. But the average Christian out there does not 100%, with all his heart, his mind, his soul, and his strength, believe that Yahweh is. Because if he is, he wouldn't be living the life he's living. Yahweh has to be so real to us. And the only way for him to be real is to build that relationship. And you can't do that through anything else but a one-on-one relationship with him. Obedience is evidence of our faith. We must accept Yahweh for who he is, not what we created him to be or we want him to be. We have to accept him for who he is. And you know what? Belief doesn't mean you always have to understand. There's things in Scripture, as I was growing as a believer, I didn't understand, but I did it. Because his word said it. Why do I have to understand it? If Yahweh said it, it's that simple. Right? He says certain things. You know, he says in his word about when a child is born, right? That the woman is to stay in the purification for 40 days for a male child and 80 days for a female child. You know, do we need to know all the reasons why? No. Word said it, I'll do it. You know, so you don't have to always know why you're doing it, but you do have to do it. And that's where faith really is, because you're believing that Yahweh's ways are higher than your ways. You're believing in faith that whatever he said, there's got to be something good coming out of it. But all of these questioning things, no matter what it comes to, whether it's mixed clothes or tassels or anything else, when we want to keep trying to figure out, you know, and there's people that will constantly be trying to figure out the calendar on their own. And every year or two, they change what they believe. And they'll say, well, I'm never going to follow a man, but they follow themselves. They follow themselves. And they're flipping this way, flipping this way, flipping this way, one way doing it like this, one way doing it like this. And they'll never have a relationship with Yahweh because they're not surrendering to him. And that's the way we're going to get that relationship. We have to surrender in all things. Jacob 4 in verse 4. But faith, the deed is the obedience of our faith. Obedience is the evidence of our faith. Obedience is the evidence of our faith. Jacob 4 in verse 4. He says, adulterers and adulteresses, do you not know that friendship of the world is enmity with Elohim? Whoever then purposes to be a friend of the world is an enemy of Elohim. Well, and here we are, right? So like I've said many, many times, you know, whether it's social media, internet, false teachers, all these things, worldly music, you know, the books you're reading, whatever it is, if you really want Yahweh to be real to you, then you got to get rid of this false facade, because the whole world is a facade. And it's over here that because our minds, whatever you focus on, becomes most real to you, for most people, the facade is the reality, and Yahweh becomes the facade. And that's why more and more people are just saying, he can't exist, you know, because they're believing in the facade. But everything of this world, in a very short time, will be gone. Every last thing. But he will live forever. And that's why I say, every atheist that's ever lived, they're laying 6 feet under in a box. But Yahweh's still alive forever. So I'll believe in Yahweh, who created all these things, before I'm going to believe in the atheist that's going to lay in a box. But it's got to be real to us, right? Whoever then is a friend of the world is an enemy to Elohim. Or do you think that vainly the scripture says, pride dwelling in us, lusts with envy, right? And that's the way the world is today. It's filled with pride and envy. But he gives greater grace. Because of this, Yahweh sets himself against proud ones, but he gives grace to humble ones. Then submit to Yahweh, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Got to get it in the right order. Submit to Yahweh, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. You cannot resist the devil unless you submit to Yahweh. It's got to be total surrender. It's got to be in everything. You can't do it in one part of your life and not do it in another part of your life. You have to do it. And that's why, you know, Yahweh is a family. And that's why the congregation is important, because we help each other. We encourage each other. And we're there for each other to help each other in these things. Draw near to Elohim and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, sinners, and purify your hearts, double-minded ones. Cleanse your hands. You got to wash your hands of all this worldliness. You know, the more worldliness in your life, the less relationship with Yahweh. Draw near to Elohim and he will draw near to you. If you don't see him in your life, who moved? Who moved? And sometimes it's fear, because like I said, when that electric bill is due at the end of the month and they're going to shut your electric off, wow, that is real to you. That seems real. But like I say, I ask people, who owns your electric company? I don't know. And you really believe they're going to, oh yeah, yeah, I got the notice. It says it in red. And, you know, January 29th, they're shutting it off. And people will show more faith in the owner of the electric company to perform what he says he's going to perform, shutting off the electric, than in Yahweh. And that's not faith. And you, unless you believe with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength that Yahweh is going to perform what he said, you got to believe it. Draw near to Elohim and he will draw near to you. Be distressed and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to shame. Be humbled before Yahweh and he will exalt you, like Job. We have to humble ourselves. We have to let him know, of my own I can do nothing, Father. Please intervene. Stand back and see the salvation of Yahweh and you be still. And sometimes we don't want to be still. We want to keep talking and we want to keep doing. And sometimes we just have to sit back and let Yahweh perform what he said he's going to perform. And that's faith. And whatever the outcome, we believe it's the best thing in our life. We can't dictate to him what the outcome is. You know, all we do is ask him. All we do is tell him the need. And then the rest we have to let it come. Which brings to the next point here, point three, prayer. Prayer. Revelation 8 and verse 3. Revelation 8 and verse 3. It says, another cherub came and stood on the altar having a golden censer. And many types of incense were given to him that he should give them with the prayers of all the saints on the golden altar before the throne. And the smoke of the incense went up with the prayers of the saints out of the hand of the cherub before Elohim. Wow. Can you imagine that you, if you are a baptized covenant person in Yahweh, you're one of more than a million people. For every one of you, there's a million who do not have that relationship. That you have the right to go to the throne of Yahweh with your prayer. It doesn't matter how busy Yahweh is. Doesn't matter, okay, Hezbollah is making to attack Israel. North Korea is threatening a bomb. This is going on. It's like, sir, we have a message from one of your children. Okay, everything stop. Bring it in. Let me hear what my child has to say. We have access to the throne of Yahweh. How powerful is that in your life? To go to him with anything, and you know what? It doesn't have to be these dry,
thank you, Heavenly Father, blah, blah, blah.
You know, Yahweh's not looking for the eloquency of your words. He's looking for you. He's looking for a relationship. He's looking for you to share with him. Hey, Dad, you know what's going on today? Whether you're excited, Dad, you're not going to believe what happened, Dad. Oh, I know you believe it. You did it. Or if something bad is happening, Dad, I got to talk to you. I need your help. He's a father that wants a relationship. And you have to seek it. You have to seek it. You know, draw near to Elohim and he will draw near to you. And there's no greater way to do it than praying to him every day. Think about it. How good will you have any relationship in your life, whether it's with your wife or husband, your children, your boss at work, friends, if you have no dialogue? If you're never talking to the person, how will you ever have a relationship? And that, if you want a real relationship with Yahweh, you have to talk to him. You have to share with him the inner parts of your heart. You have to be joyful to him. You have to praise him. And this is all part of it. Simply talking to Yahweh. The relationship needs to be built. Romans 10 and verse 17, number 4. Romans 10 and verse 17. Then faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the word of Yahweh. So now you talk to him through prayer, and then you open your Bible and he talks back to you. You can have a real relationship. And like I said, I'm not belittling at times that Yahweh does in an audible voice speak to us. I've had it happen in my life. But most of the time, that's not normal. That's not going to be every single day. At least, I've never heard of somebody every day hearing an audible voice. But every single day, you can have a relationship. You speak to him when praying. He's going to speak to you through his word. And it's amazing how that word can talk to you. It can talk to you in 100 different ways every day of your life. And it's a real relationship that you're having with him. And he's sharing with you. We have to read our Bible every day. You have to believe what you're reading. Whatever you focus on becomes most real to you. And do you believe with all your heart, your mind, your soul, and your strength that Yeshua is coming back in these next few short little years to bring the kingdom of Yahweh to this earth? Do you believe we're right on the cups? 6,000 years have gone by. And every human being up to now has lived and died, lived and died. Now there's 8 billion of us still alive now. But we're on the end of that. We're at that time where if we're still alive in a couple of years when he's here, we will see him come down to see his feet go on the Mount of Olives and to be part of that kingdom, to be part of that sharing, to be part of going out to the nations and sharing how they can have a relationship with Yahweh. And that's why I say, people in the third world, they don't need money. You know, they don't need all these other things they think they need. They certainly don't need the New World Order or the UN. What they need is a relationship with Yahweh. That's what people need. Because that will change every other thing in your life. And the last point, John 8 and verse 16. There's only one way to have that relationship. And that's through the Son. Because before Yeshua came, nobody knew the Father. They knew of the Father. They knew the words he wrote. They knew the commandments. But nobody knew him but the Son. John 8 and verse 16. John 8 and verse 16. But even as I judge, if I judge, my judgment is true because I'm not alone, but I am the Father who sent me. And in the Torah, it's been written that the witness of two men is true. I am the one witnessing concerning myself, and he who sent me, the Father, witnesses concerning me. They're not the same person. You know, right here he says, in the mouth of two witnesses, Yeshua is the one witness, the Father is the other witness. Then they said to him, where is your Father? Yeshua answered, you neither know me nor my Father. If you had known me, then you also would have known my Father. Drop down to verse 23. And he said to them, you are from below, I am from above. You are from this world, I am not from this world. Therefore I said to you that you will die in your sins. For if you do not believe that I am, you will die in your sins. They said to him, who are you? And Yeshua said to him, even if I should begin to speak with you, I have many things to say and to judge concerning you, but the one sending me is true. And what I heard from him, these things I say to the world. They did not know he spoke to them about the Father. Then Yeshua said to them, when you lift up the Son of Man, then you will know that I am. And from myself I do nothing, but my Father taught me these things that I speak. And he who sent me is with me and does not leave me alone, because my Father is pleased at all times with the things that I do. You know, Yahweh is called the Father. Yeshua is the Son. We're the bride of Messiah. And I've had people say to me, well, Don, I just don't see in Scripture where Yahweh is a family. I say, because you have no relationship with Yahweh. Everything in here, it's a family book. And that's why if you look in the Bible, this Bible is basically a family book about one lineage from Genesis all the way through Revelation. And we do see other lineages come into it as it affects the family. You'll see about the Romans. Why? Because the Romans were occupiers. You see about Babylon. Why? Because Babylon overtook, you know, the temple in the 6th century B.C. But this is a book about the family of Yahweh. And if someone doesn't understand that Yahweh, who's called the Father, is a father and we're called his children and we're a family, then what on earth is a family? They have to have a perverted view of it. But it's very, very clearly here. If you're going to have a relationship with the Father, you have to have a relationship with the Son. John 14 and verse 6. John 14 and verse 6. Yeshua said to them, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you had known me, you would have known my Father also. And from now on, you do know him and have seen him. And Philip said to him, Master, show us the Father and it is enough. Yeshua said to him, am I so long a time with you and you have not known me, Philip? The one seeing me has seen the Father. And how do you say, show us the Father? Do you not believe that I am in the Father and the Father is in me? There's one Spirit, right? The words which I speak to you, I do not speak for myself, but the Father who dwells in me, he does the work. So now that same Spirit is dwelling in us. So the same way that Yeshua said that, and that's why with his Spirit dwelling in us, that Spirit should be convicting our mind of surrendering to Yahweh, repenting of our sins, of being enthralled with him every day of our life, of praying, of studying, of having this relationship. And then we also will be one with the Father, like John 17. Yeshua said, I and you and me and us and them, that they will be one as we are one. And this is the spirit that's Tikkat. It's the spirit of surrendering our human spirit to His spirit and having that same mind, the same mind that Yeshua is speaking about here in John 14, up with the Father. Having that same mind and letting His spirit just speak to our mind and share with us and change us. But we have to believe. Only way to the Father is through the Son. There's no other way. Some people are saying there's a back door for the Jewish people. No, there's not. There's a front door for our brother Judah. When Yeshua returns, they're going to see him. And they're going to weep. And they're going to look upon him with their pierced. And they're going to mourn as one mourns for an only son in Zechariah 12. So there's a front door for Judah. You know, Judah's time isn't lost. But there's no back door. And that's why Judaism, they have no relationship with the Father. They may know things from thousands of years ago. They may have writings of rabbis from 1500 and 1800 years ago. They may know Hebrew. They may know what Hebrew words mean. But they don't know Yahweh. They don't know Yahweh. They don't know Him because they're not seeking Him. And even though it's right in front of Him, they're happy with the religion, but they're not looking for the relationship. And we don't want to be that way. We don't want a religious spirit. We want to be doing these things because they're burning in our heart, because it's the truth. Because it's the truth of Yahweh. John 4 and verse 24. Elohim is spirit, and the ones worshiping Him are spirit, must worship in spirit and truth. You can't have a relationship based on falsehoods, that's why I said. Not to say that a Christian can't pray to Yahweh and Yahweh won't hear them. I'm not saying that. And not to say that they can't have no relationship, because Yahweh's merciful. But the relationship is limited if you're worshiping in paganism and falsehoods. It's that simple. You're limited to how much a relationship you can have to Yahweh if you're worshiping in paganism and falsehood. And that's why we have to surrender. We have to die to the whole life. And that's why baptism is the sign of the new covenant. Because it's a dying to the flesh and a rebuilding. Matthew 10 and verse 37. The one loving father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And the one loving son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And whoever does not take up his torture stake and follow after me is not worthy of me. The one finding his life will lose it. And the one losing his life on account of me shall find it. So we got to die to all self-righteousness, to pride. We got to die to everything. And then there's a new life. A life that's in Him. A life of Him doing it in us. And where is the boasting, right? Because He's doing it. It's not ourself. There is no boasting, but you will feel so happy, so fulfilled, so joyful every day of your life. And then you can't help wanting to share it with other people. Because that's part of the grace. It's wanting to give back to other people. But being and having a relationship with Yahweh, there is nothing else in this world, because you don't fear nothing, not even death, because there is no death. When you have eternal life dwelling in you, how can you die? Sure. You might get cancer and you might sleep in the ground for a few years until Yeshua returns. But if I sleep 8 hours in the night or I sleep 5 years in the ground, what's the difference? Right? There's no death when you have eternal life living in you. Death has no boundary over you. And that's the powerful part, you know, when you're a worker in the underground congregation, when you don't have to fear death. That there's nothing a human being can do to you. Sure, they can take your physical body away. You know what they just did? They gave you the best, greatest blessing in the world. Because your next waking moment, you're with Yeshua in His kingdom, not with this beat up old hunk of junk, but with a glorified spiritual body. And you have to believe it, though. You have to believe it with all your heart. You can't hope it. It can't just be something you hope. It's got to be something you're convicted and you believe. Because if you're convicted, you're going to live to that every day of your life. And nothing can stop you. Like I said, your priority is what you get done. So if that's not the greatest priority in your life, then you've got to build a greater relationship with Yahweh. You've got to seek Him more in everything that you do. Matthew 6. A couple more scriptures and we'll be done here. Matthew 6, verse 24. Because you know what stops? What stops is, like I said, the facade has become the reality, and the reality has become the facade. Because nobody has seen Yahweh at any time, right? But our mind does see what's in front of us. It does see those bills we have to pay. It does see, you know, that you have to eat, you get hungry. Our mind sees that. But because we physically don't see Yahweh, you start to get all of these things going through your mind. And you have to get to the point that you realize everything in front of you is a facade. None of this is real. None of this is, people think you're crazy, you know. But who are the crazy ones? The crazy ones are the ones who are going to die when all this stuff comes. They're not going to live forever. You have to get in your mind that the only reality is Yahweh and what he's saying, not what you're seeing in front of you. And he says this in Matthew 6 and verse 24. No one is able to serve two masters. He will either hate the one and love the other. You will cleave to the one and despise the other. You are not able to serve Yahweh and well. Because of this, I say to you, do not be anxious for your soul, what you'll eat or what you'll drink, or for your body or what you'll put on. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? Observe the birds of the heaven, that they do not sow, nor do they reap, nor do they gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Do you not rather excel them? But who of you, by being anxious, is able to add one cubit to his stature? And why are you anxious about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow and how they labor. And they do not labor, nor do they spin. But I say to you, not even Solomon in all his glory was clothed as one of these. If Yahweh so enrobes the grass of the field, which is today, and is thrown into a furnace tomorrow, will he not much rather you, little faiths? Then don't be anxious, saying, what we will eat, or what we will drink, or what will clothe us. For all these things the nations seek. For your heavenly Father knows that you have need of them. But seek ye first the kingdom of Yahweh and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Then do not be anxious for tomorrow will be anxious of itself. Sufficient to each day is its own trouble. And when the facade of Babylon collapses, when it does go down, and it will go down, it could be tomorrow, it could be 10 years from now, but believe me, it will go down because the word prophesied it. Then all those people that were trusting on those little green pieces of paper with dead dignitaries, it's all going to be gone anyway. So where you put your trust, where your treasure is, you know, there your heart will be also. And where is your treasure? Is it in faith in Yahweh or is it faith of the world? Seek ye first the kingdom and all these things will be added. Last scripture, Jeremiah 9 and verse 23. Another one of my favorite scriptures, Jeremiah 9 and verse 23. So says Yahweh, do not let the wise glory in his wisdom, and do not let the mighty glory in his might. Do not let the rich glory in his riches. But let him who glories glory in this, that he understands and knows me, that I am Yahweh, doing kindness, justice, and righteousness in the earth. For I delight in these, says Yahweh. And I love that scripture because it's so humbling. It is so humbling. Because there's nothing in this physical world that you have or don't have, whether it's wisdom or might or riches or glory, but all that we should humbly be thankful for is that we have a relationship with Yahweh, that we know him. And I know myself, like I said, I wasn't looking for it. You know, I was 18 years old. I had my own business, car, house already. I was doing great and I wasn't looking for religion. But what I wanted to do is I wanted to prove it was wrong and move on with my life. I was going to retire at 30, be a millionaire, and then just enjoy life because I knew one way or another, you only live so many days. And wow, when Yahweh knocked me down, when he showed me his truth, when I saw that this was real, in my mind it was like there's nothing else in life that matters from here. If this is real, then whether I'm going to live one more day or 12,000 more days or anything in between, I am going to follow him and serve him and seek him every single day of my life. Because that's all that matters. Because at the end of it, all I know is I want to be there when that kingdom comes. I lived too many days in this horrible world. I've seen too many horrible things that we see every single day. And like it says, one day in his kingdom is better than 1,000 days without. And I want one day in that kingdom. I want to see that kingdom. I want to see him face to face. And I want him to say, well, good. You know, faithful servant. I don't want him to say, I don't know you. I would fear that dreadfully for something like that to happen. But this is why, like he says, let us glory that he understands and know me, that I am Yahweh, doing kindness, justice, and righteousness in the earth, and I delight in these, says Yahweh. People want to believe, but Yahweh is spirit in a different realm. So they can't touch it. And because they lack faith, like the man who said, Master, I believe, help me with my unbelief. And you've got to let all the things around you go, because we're living in the most materialistic facade world that has ever been there. And if your focus is on this facade, you will never, ever, ever know Yahweh. Yahweh is spirit in a different realm than us. When cares of life, pride, money problems, health issues arise, and our mortality is challenged, human nature draws back to the flesh out of fear. But remember, fear is false evidence appearing real. Most fears never even happen. You must get past this and realize all those human thoughts, including sickness, financial woes, are not real, but temporary. And only your faith in Yahweh and your relationship with Him will enter into the kingdom. Stop thinking and letting your emotions make decisions that are not from Yahweh. Stand still, listen to His word, be convicted. Build a relationship with Him every single day through prayer and through study and through fasting, and act in faith and never look back. And you will see the face of Yahweh like you've never seen before. Yahweh bless. Shabbat Shalom.